Thinking about things, you know, sometimes if you just think a little while, you'll see through some things. And sometimes the thing we like to think about and look at is, what do we really need to do if we're going to really attain to what God has spoken? What are you going to really do? You know, we're motivated by things, you know, situations, or by the word of the Lord. And we've got to be motivated. And I don't want to be motivated to sit down. I don't want to be motivated to hold back. I don't want to be motivated to just throw the towel in. I want to be motivated deep in my heart by the Spirit of God to continue to press my way, and no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how much the devil fights, just motivated to fight and go right on and press on. And if there's things in the way, we're going to press by them. We're going to move them out of the way through faith, or we're going to do whatever, but we're going to get by every obstacle the devil throws in our pathway. We've got to go on, don't we? We need motivation that's deep down in our heart. So what motivates us? Well, I think the Spirit of God is one who really is the one who does the motivating of our hearts. He gives us reasons why we should get up and why we should get into it and why we should go on. He creates within us desire. He creates things in our heart to give us a desire, and then inspires to us that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive, and you'll have it. But He creates that desire in our heart. So tonight, we should know in our heart, there's things that can really motivate us. And I look for that motivation, you know. What will motivate a crowd? Or what will motivate a person? I think it's something the Holy Spirit does, or something the Holy Spirit uses to get us to really get into it with all that's in us. Read you this verse of Scripture. To me, I found it one Scripture that could really seem to be a motivator in my heart. And I'm just reading a Scripture here in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'm thinking about the theme in that verse about hungering and thirsting. That's in a good sense. And getting into that realm where you deep in your heart are motivated. And you're motivated by a hungering and thirsting to do the will of God. And you're motivated by that hungering and thirsting for the things of God. For the things you haven't seen. For the things you haven't used yet. For the things that aren't real to you yet. But you're motivated to, because you see it in the Word, there are things that God wants us to enter into. And so something always would be the motivator there to cause us to press our way. Now, we've often mentioned these kind of things to you for your, you know, for your good, maybe to help some of you. But we found ourselves so hungry for God before we got in that great revival. We found ourselves so hungry for God. We wanted this thing so much. We wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We wanted the things that we read about in the Bible. We wanted to see those things as a reality. And there was a hungering in our hearts. And that hungering was genuine. That hungering got us on our knees. It got us to praying. It got us to seeking it out. It got us to reaching out there to take a hold of it and looking for it and waiting, you know, that somehow God was going to answer that hunger of our hearts. I don't believe God is one who's out to disappoint you. Do you believe He's out to disappoint you? Do you believe He plays a game where He dangles something real nice in front of you, and about the time you get ready to reach out there, He just pulls it back? Do you think God is a player of games? Do you think God is then one who's sincere in all that He does, and He has these things that He was, you know, always willing to give to men? These things that make the life and make ministry and making working and laboring for God true and real, that God has things to give. And God knows what we need in our life. And God knows when you don't know. And when you don't even know what to ask for, God knows what to give. And we should be hungering in our hearts There should be that hungering in our hearts, that hungering of the heart that just won't stop. It just gets you to seeking God with all your heart. And finding what you're looking for surely is so rewarding to your heart. It was what I really wanted. When you really want the will of God, God will really give you the will of God. He'll purpose the will of God, you know, for you. He will surely make you to know what His purpose is. So God is ever dealing in hearts. But I found it was that hungering that was deep in our hearts. We wanted something. We knew we needed something more. Do you need something more? Do you feel you've got it right now? Come on now. Do you feel you have it right now? Are you praying? Are you seeking? Are you earnest in your heart? You want all this fullness of God. Now, praise the Lord. Let's keep these things in our hearts here. We've got to have a hungering, a thirst of the soul. Not that that's the issue. It's a motivator of our hearts. I knew in my heart there was more than we had. And I didn't know how to get it. And I really started out not even knowing what it was. So we should be thankful in our hearts. God leads us. And let's let God lead us. Let's let God do it. Let's let God work in our heart and work in our soul. God knows our need, and God also knows our desire. So we've got to have some desire of the heart. Got to be some real desire. What do you want? What are you fighting for? What are you reaching out for? What are you longing for? What is it you want God to do for you? What is it now you want God to do for you? There must be something you want God to do. That's the thing you'll go after. Well, read you another scripture. You've heard this scripture probably many times, but let's hear it again. It's down at the end of Mark chapter 16. Begins at verse 15. And He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, salvation really given, that we should have an opportunity to believe and be saved. And the signs that would follow them that would be saved, casting out devils and speaking with new tongues and laying hands on the sick, and they would recover. And so we see also, as the scripture speaks to us here, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So the Lord working with them. What can you do if the Lord isn't working with you? What can you do if the Lord isn't working with you? We're working with the Lord. No, the Lord is working with us. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, if that doesn't give us a reason to hungering and thirsting after the things of the Spirit of God, what does? There's a motivator for us. What we need, you know, to confirm the Word of God is God's way to make people know that this Word is His. This Word is true. That He is working in you and with you. He's working through your life. He's working and manifesting Himself, confirming His Word. He's making people to know this is Him. This is His Word. This is His work. And so He would confirm the word with signs following. Well, signs following are signs following. Something that we should look at as God given to accompany the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. Something that we would think in our hearts then. Something we need. You know, the Lord working with us, confirming the word with signs following. You know, that's for the purpose of spreading the gospel. Do you need another sign to believe in the Lord? I believe now. I believe in the Lord from my heart. I don't ask the Lord every day for a sign so I can believe Him. But the signs following was a confirmation to the people they were preaching to, they were ministering to, they were reaching out to. So they went forth preaching everywhere. They got into it. They went forth preaching everywhere. They didn't want to leave any place out. So going forth to preach everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, I think you could stop right there and say there's as good a place to start as I know. The Lord working with you. He's not working against you. He's not working in spite of you. He's working with you. I have to know God is working with me. I know I'm not alone in this. I know when I preach, I don't preach alone. I know when I preach, I get a message that comes from the Lord. I know when I preach, He's there. I know when I preach, the anointing is there. You know He's with you. You know He's there. And we should know in the depths of our heart then that He's there. And what would we do, or what would be the worth of doing anything if He wasn't there? So we know. And so we've got to bear it up in our hearts. This is what's really part of this preaching of this word, is the Lord working with us, confirming the word with signs following. So I can look back at many years and say, surely I saw many signs following. I found many things the Lord did as a result of preaching. I found many times what the Lord did to reach out to help some soul. And it always seems that it works better when you're among people who don't know. When you're out among people who don't know about this power, never saw it manifest, never was around it. And you get where people now who are hungering and thirsting for God or wanting the reality of what they've read in the Word, and surely seeing when the Lord is working with you, confirming the Word with signs following, it's going to do something to their hearts. So tonight, let's think about God working with us. Let's think about the importance then that what we read right here from verse 15 to verse 20. Hey, that's a whole message. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Hey, when that word goes out there, some are going to hear it, and some are going to turn aside from it. We can understand that. But they that believe, you know, they that believe, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then he went right there at verse 17 to talk about a confirmation of this word, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Get around a crowd of spirit-filled people. There ought to be some of this goes on then. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. An expectation that there's going to be confrontations with the devil, and the devil's going to lose the battle. A confrontation with devils, because the devils are hindering people from wanting to turn to the Lord and serve God, and therefore we can turn and cast them out. And so we see there's the essence of, you know, the preaching, and we can see the signs following, and many things more are said, and they shall speak with new tongues. Every time one of you get in the Spirit and speak in tongues, there's a sign there. When you get down to pray this morning, if you got down to pray and you got in the Spirit and you prayed into, there was a sign there. What sign? Well, the sign of speaking in tongues is not for believers. It's not a sign to me that somebody speaks in tongues. The sign of speaking in tongues is for the unbelieving. It's for those who don't believe. And for those now, we would realize that speaking in tongues and interpretation is not for those that believe, it's for those who don't believe. But speaking out in prophecy is for the church and for the people of God. And we don't need tongues and we don't need interpretation. We get the message straight from God. But it's only as given in tongues and interpretation as a sign. And these signs, there are a lot of signs. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink deadly things, it shall not hurt them. So he said, I don't understand that part. Well, read it and take it. It's part of the text. Maybe someday you will understand. Like maybe the Apostle Paul understood one day when he reached down into the wood pile and picked up something to put in the fire, and an old snake grabbed right a hold. Didn't only bite him, it hung right on, and it was hanging and dangling on his hand, and he shook it off into the fire. And those natives, where they were on that island where they shipwrecked, when they saw that Paul just went on as though nothing happened, and that he didn't get sick in just a little while and collapse, like they had saw it happen many times. Poisonous snakes, very deadly poisonous snakes. He shook it off and went on, and boy, after a while they saw he had no effects from that snake bite. It didn't hurt him at all. It didn't make him sick, and he didn't fall down dead. Well, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It's much now to say, it's not for you to tempt God to play with snakes, and it's not for you to go out and try to see if you can eat about a half a pound of, you know, rat poison or something and say it won't kill you. No, but if somebody along the road wanted to really do you in and tried to give you some poison, it wouldn't have any effect on you. God wouldn't let it harm you. God wouldn't let it poison you. So it's a sign given to us in the Word. But they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them, confirming the Word with signs following. Now, a lot of times as we look in the Word of God, we can see that signs was a big issue. And we could see that signs was what God was working in. It's not just one account. And we can read some of these things right out of the Scripture, because surely it was there in the early church. Now, I'm in Acts chapter 8. I'm just looking down, beginning to read at verse 5. This is Acts 8, beginning at verse 5. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, there's the confirmation. He went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people now began to give heed to what he was preaching, because he was not only, you know, preaching, but there were these signs following. So it talks of the signs following. They were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with him. And many taken with palsy that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now you see, those signs were just like it was over there in Mark chapter 16. Just the same thing. Hey, he went down there to preach, and hey, there were signs following. Now the signs are spelled out here. Like it was spoken over there, surely they were speaking with new tongues after the apostles came down and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the devils were being cast out. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. He was chasing the devil, casting the devil out of many in those meetings in that city. Well, there was miracles taking place. And we could look to see that many that had palsy, many that were lame, were healed. It surely turned the city to great joy. Well, you see, it was what God was doing. God was working with him. God wasn't working against him. God wasn't depending upon human effort to do this. God was working with him. He did the preaching, and God worked the miracles. God anointed him to preach and to preach Christ, and God worked the miracles. God filled with the Spirit. God done the works that should be done. And so we could see later when Peter and John, when they came down and saw all these people got saved, they were believing and were baptized, and they had none of them had as yet received the Holy Ghost. Am I, is God going to let this revival get over and nobody get filled with the Holy Ghost? Is God going to let it be that all of these people have been brought to Jesus and have saw these great signs and believed, and is God going to let them all now go without filling them with the Holy Ghost? God sent Peter and John from Jerusalem down into Samaria now to come down and pray with them for the Holy Ghost. So Philip brought them through the place where they were into salvation. Brought them in by preaching and God working with him, confirming the word with signs following. And the apostles came down to visit that revival. And Peter and John laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. And we look at the record and we can see there was a lot of spiritual things going on. God confirming his word with signs following. Now God works with you. And there you see, Philip was out there preaching, and God was working with him. He wasn't out there alone. We wouldn't want to think he went down there alone. By no means he went down there alone. Bless God. Now we bear this in our heart and our mind. God works with us. He doesn't work against us. God is not holding back on us. God is not holding back. Maybe sometimes we might get in the road. Sometimes maybe we get in the way. But God works with us. He's there to do for us what he surely has said he would do in his word. Confirm the word with signs following. I like that kind of work. I like to see God. It was things like this that stirred our hearts as a Christian. Reading the Bible, reading in the book of Acts, you saw these things, and we saw them in the church where we got saved. We saw these in the Bible, I'm saying. And we didn't see them in the church. And we begin to wonder in our mind, what about this Pentecost? What about that day of visitation? What about that? We saw it. It was written. Doesn't God do this anymore? Many people will jump up and swear, God doesn't do the miracles anymore. God doesn't do these things anymore. Why, they've retired God. Hey, they put him out, you know, in a nursing home somewhere. God isn't doing anything anymore. They just believe that God doesn't do it. Saints, you can't allow yourself to come to the point where you don't believe that God can do these things and still work signs, wonders, and miracles in this day. Oh, you've got to have your faith. You can't retire your faith. You can't take a hold of every wind of doctrine, and every wind of doctrine that kind of puts God on the shelf or puts God back like he's an old man and he can't do it anymore. Our God can do anything. And our God is working with those who will preach this gospel. Can you say amen to that? So what a revival there was in Samaria. Philip went down there, and you might say he turned the whole city to God. But the whole city was turned to God as God worked with him, confirming the word with signs following. So the signs following, were they that Philip needed these signs? Philip didn't need these signs. These people he preached to, it was a great help to their heart and soul in hearing and seeing the miracles. Boy, it charged up their faith that they could turn and press in and believe God. And so tonight we think in our heart how important things are when we get right down to it, that we're in the pattern with God. God working with us with signs following. Well, if we'll take a hold of that, if we'll hold that as a great truth, I believe, saints of God, that can be an inspiration to some of you. You can get up and say, well, sure, God does these things. God's always done them. And when God isn't doing it, then I would want you to question and say, "Now, God, why aren't you doing it?" Do you hear what I said? Questioning. Questioning in that you want to see what God is really doing. Now, I'm thinking of surely how much these things would affect us. Now, I'm reading in verse 10 of 1 Peter in chapter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should be revealed. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh my. Preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost. Huh? The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven unto us. So here we think now of what we would experience and what we have experienced along in our life and what the early church experienced. And what Peter now is, highlighting here out of the prophets and how the prophets, they knew of these things that would come. And they were, in that place where they would want to diligently look into these things, even though they weren't going to be manifest to them, but unto us, yet they wanted to inquire of those things. They wanted to know of these things, which surely was manifested in the grace that should come unto us. Well, now, we think as they were preaching and going forth, they were in the place where they have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now, this was a thing that the angels desired to look into. Does it interest you? If the holy angels of God desire to look into this ministry of the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, surely if it was of great interest to them, it ought to be of greater interest to us to whom it was given that we should preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now you see, they looked at it and surely desired to look in to see what was done. And they before time wondered of what the prophets were inspired and what they were writing and what God was saying about the Holy Ghost being given. Ah, you should be thankful tonight that God gave you the Holy Ghost. Has God given you the Holy Ghost? Has God sent the Holy Ghost into your life? Surely then, if the Holy Ghost is in our life, we should expect that there should be some manifestation of the Holy Ghost. There should be some preaching of the gospel of Christ. There should be some of those signs following. And we should be in that place where this is where our hearts ought to be. So, wouldn't you want to preach the Holy Ghost, preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven? Wouldn't you want to work, surely, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven? Having the Spirit of God within your life, having the Holy Ghost made manifest in your heart and life, made manifest in a ministry which God gives you? You couldn't think of anything better to tell me than that. God working with us. God working with us, confirming the word with signs following. God being a helper then to the ministry by His own works. Didn't Jesus testify and say in John 14:12, "The works that I do shall ye do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father"? Because He would pray the Father, and the Father would give the Holy Ghost unto us who believed. And surely there should be an earnest expectation in our hearts every day that He meant that the works which He did we can do. And greater than these can we do because He is at Father's right hand, where He can order greater things, where He can minister greater things. And surely tonight we ought to anticipate in our hearts how beautiful then it is and how much the Lord delights in doing it. So preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven is no light thing. Ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. To be full of the Holy Ghost. To have your life full of the Holy Ghost. How much more? How much more? Hey, as much as we can take. As much as we will let into our life. As much as we will enter into. I don't know if there's any limit to the measure, except I know of Jesus. The Scripture said He did not receive the Holy Ghost by measure. I mean, He had the fullness of this. He had the fullness. And Jesus is the one who is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. And He's the one who would baptize us with the Holy Ghost. He would fill us to go out and to preach His name among the Gentiles. And so tonight, to think in our life that we have what others have desired to look into, what the angels would want. Oh, to just stop and see. Hey, this fascinated them, that God, by His Spirit, would minister through us like that. That God would confirm the Word with signs following. Not that power was a strange thing to the angels. We know that many angels are very powerful ministers of God. Ministers in another way. But tonight, let's think in our hearts. We're preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's better than just dry bread, y'all. That's better than just being dry in your soul, wishing ever you had something. Well, tonight, it's what we could look at and say it gives us an awful lot to say. It gives us a lot to say. The Holy Ghost resides with us. And He's within us. And the purpose now that we should do, we think of it. And what a church should think should be accomplished. And my, I hope God doesn't have to send the hornets into us to get us to move. I hope He doesn't have to send the hornets in. You know, hey, hornets will get you up and get you apt. Hey, they'll get you off your doofer and running down the road, if nothing more. But you know, sometimes, you know, God had to send the hornets along because, after all, it was a way of getting the people out of the nest and getting them out. Now, to the early church, they were doing well in Jerusalem. But boy, they were well settled in the city limits. They were well centered in the city. They were there. And there was a multitude there. And it was just that God kind of sent the hornets in. And the next thing you know, they were suffering great persecution in the city. Oh, the persecution became tremendously great. And they begin to move out. They begin to move out of the city. They begin to move away from it. And everywhere they moved out, like Philip going down into Samaria, they were moving out. But while they're moving out, they're preaching the gospel. They're reaching out to others. Does God have to send the hornets in unto us? Is this the way He's going to get us to move on? Is this the way He's going to get some of us to get up and let this anointing go to work in our life? He's going to have to send the hornets in. Oh my, He's going to have to let persecutions come. He's going to let something happen to stir our nest. Or are we going to get the message just on our own and say, well, surely if God called us, if God is in the realm of wanting to use us, then we should be willing to totally submit our heart and our life. And our heart's cry ought to be that we can preach Jesus. And that we can preach Jesus with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And that we could see the Lord working with us, confirming His Word with signs following. Hungering. Hungering for this. Desirous to see this. Oh my. Could you imagine what it must have seemed like to the early church when they saw the power that was manifested in their church? Can you imagine when they had revival there in the city of Jerusalem, and they were bringing all the sick people out into the streets, and everybody that was sick, everybody that was crippled, people that were lame, they brought them out into the streets, and the apostles was out in the street preaching Jesus, having revival. And they were out there, and God went to work. And the next thing you know, God began to not only heal those that were brought out in the street and laid on beds and, and out there, on stretchers and whatever. And they started bringing the sick not only from the city, they started going out into the suburbs and bringing them in. And they came from everywhere into the city. And there you can read it in Acts chapter 5. And they had a revival, the likes of that we would love to see. A revival of such a magnitude with all of those sick people lining the streets. And when they preached Jesus with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, these signs followed them that believed. And they prayed for those that were sick. And they were healed, everyone. Nobody was left untouched of the gospel. Nobody was left untouched by the miracles. They were all healed, everyone. Church, hey, that's what we should want and desire in our heart, that God in this last day would work His great works. Oh, to think of all those apostles. Boy, they were anointed. Hey, they were chosen vessels of God and anointed. And they were anointed to do that work. And they show shortly here in the Scripture one of their revivals. When they all were out there, when they all were involved in that revival, it wasn't one apostle here. No, it was all of them out there. And all the great and the mighty works of God that followed. They were preaching surely with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Isn't this what we should want to do? We have been given the Holy Spirit. Hey, shouldn't there be a fire somewhere with that? He said He would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did He say that? Did He mean that? Baptizing you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hey, there's a fire to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we need the fire, the kind of fire that just burns in our heart and soul, that we're going to get into what God is doing and we're going to get into it with all we got. There's a fire that gets a hold of you. And there's also that fire which takes those that are brought to the Lord and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it isn't long until it'll burn all the chaff right out of your life. And all the dead wood and chaff of your old life, all the clingings of your old life, all that you haven't shaken off, and every snake you haven't shaken off of you yet. My, and the next thing you know, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire, hey, and them shackles will be broken. And oh my, all that old chaff gone. Oh, getting cleaned up for the place, you know, where we can really be used of God, where we can serve God out of our hearts. Well, tonight, let's know in the depths of our heart and our soul, it's preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Is there any other way? Well, there's a lot of other ways it seems to be done. But is it bringing those signs following? Is it bringing the kind of deliverance that the crowd really needs? We can try to do this with our intellect. But I'm afraid it'll fall short probably much sooner than we think. And what are we going to do? I tell you, the patterns are here. They're in the Scripture. And we saw a church. And we see a glorious church at work. And my, they were surely motivated. And they were fully motivated by the burning and by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hey, there's hungering in their hearts, yes. And they were out there. And, you know, hey, they got a taste of the fire of God's Holy Spirit. And what God could do working with them. Well, tonight I think you and I should be in that place where that's what we should want to see a lot of. Are we hungering? Are we thirsting? Are we desiring? Are we kind of satisfied? Hey, I like it the way it is. What am I always looking for more for? I'm satisfied. Did you hear me? We can be satisfied. I don't know why we should be satisfied. What is there to be satisfied about? Do we have all this fullness? Well, why should we stop short of going after it then? Hey, what we've attained to, let's rejoice in. What God has already given us, let's work it. Let's let it be working. Let's let it go on. But should we stop here and say, well, we've had a taste. Hey, why have a slice when you can have the whole loaf? Why take just a slice? You can have a slice of bread. But why not take the whole loaf if God's going to give it to you? If God has things to give, my, there's the manifestations of God that have been so wonderfully given. I think we should all want those things. And tonight, I think it's just got to be in this last day. We've got to have revival. And we've got to have a revival like we've not seen. We've got to have a new move of God. Something that takes us on beyond where we've gone. I believe we've well used what God gave us. And I believe we've well used what God gave us over the years. And I believe that God has something a lot more to help us here in these last days as we see a falling away going on around about us, as we see the end of the age, as we see the approaching, judgments of God upon the earth, as we see the end of the world looming. Church, hey, this last day, we need something genuine. We know the fight that's going on. We know the spirit of Antichrist is working in the world. We know there's so much opposition. We know there's a great work at hand among many, and the whole desire of them is to overthrow Jesus. To overthrow Jesus. to toss Jesus out on his ear. They don't want to hear Jesus. They don't believe in him. They don't believe on him, but they still hang around the church. Hey, there they are hanging around in Bible schools and seminaries, and they're teaching people. What on earth are they teaching? Hey, they're teaching people to deny Jesus. And tonight, we should look and expect in our hearts, hey, these are days that we need to see true manifestations of God. How about that now? Is that what we need? True manifestations of God. Now, I have to stop, and I stop myself many times to say and to say what God said to me, and not to add to it, and not to try to put something in God's ears other than what he said. And I look to God in light of things which I have prayed and sought out, and the revelations that God had given me concerning revival. And God saying that he would give us a revival like we had not seen before, and that in response to prayer and supplication, he would grant to us that signs and wonders and miracles would be wrought in a revival. Surely, and made so clear to me the reason why he'd do it. And made me to understand that for no other reason was he going to do it. One reason. You got 1,000 reasons. God's got one reason. Sum it all up in one reason. God will do it for his glory. God will do it to glorify his son Jesus. The glory of Christ will come forth out of it. And that's the only reason God will do that. God will do it to glorify Christ. God will do it. Maybe a lot of things will happen as a result of it, but none of it will be to cause it. It's not because it's going to be a great tool to soul winning. That's the motive. The motive surely was clear that God gave me. He said it in clear terms. He said he would do it for one reason only. He would do it that Christ would be glorified. Lift it up in this day. That's his purpose. Now, if God in revival brings a lot of souls to him, that's fine. If a lot of people turn to the Lord over it, that's fine. But the reason for these signs and wonders are not for those people. It's for his glory. What happens as a result, that can be tremendous. So we recognize that God is doing what he's doing. In this day when so many are doing despite to the spirit of grace, when so many are trampling under their feet the blood of Jesus, when so many are instruments of hell, of unrighteousness, and the mess they're surely making, you and I should want to know in our hearts, one thing ought to stand sure in our heart, and that is Jesus Christ lives, and Jesus Christ is real. And Jesus Christ should be glorified in our day. God will glorify his son Jesus. God will glorify the name of his son Jesus. And God will do it with signs. God will do it with wonders and miracles. God will do it of works of his choice. And that's the whole reason. You've got to somehow get something like that in your head. Your mind will tell you many other things. Your mind will go out and say, you know, all that you think, well, this is going to do this and this is going to do that. That's not what God said. And that's not what God explained to me. God told me there was an area I would have to be very careful. I would have to be very careful of this, that the glory is given to Jesus. People are greedy dogs sometimes. They want everything, and when they get it, they don't even know how to say thank you. Lots of people like that, aren't they? You're not like that. You shouldn't be like that. You're a Christian. All what has been given to you of God, what can you say but thank you? What can you say but praise your holy name and thank you? We thank God and we give God the glory. Well, we know how to ask. Do we know how to thank God? Do we know how to thank him for what he's given? Oh, tonight I would that God would speak to our hearts richly and deeply, stirring us deep within. Amen? Isn't that what we need? Oh, we should be so thankful. You have the Holy Ghost. You have a treasure of treasures. You have Christ dwelling in you. You have a treasure of treasures. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel, that the glory may be of God and not of men. Hey, the glory is of God, not of us. Oh, we'd stop to think when we'd see Philip down there in Samaria, and there he is preaching with all those signs following. Hey, the glory belonged to God, didn't it? Hey, the glory wasn't given to Philip. Hey, the glory was given to God. Hey, it caused people to thank God. Some people might think the preacher does it, but anybody who knows at all surely knows that Jesus surely has been made manifest. And as a result of God giving to us and giving to us the Holy Ghost, we should expect that these things would happen. So tonight we got to stop and say, what's going to motivate you anew? Or maybe the first time. Do you want to be used of God? Do you want to be God's vessel? Would you want a fire like that to burn in your heart and soul? Would you want God to pluck you up out of your place and turn your life around and set it in a whole new direction for Him? Would you want God to take you out of your realm and put you in His? Can He do that? Does He do that? Does He stop you right there, you know, in what you're doing? Well, surely. Didn't He stop me when He saved me or when He called me? Didn't He ask me to give up my business? Didn't He ask me to get out of my world, get out of my way, and get out of what I was doing because He had a work to do and I just couldn't do that work and do all that I was doing and to give up that business? Hey, that business went quick. My, to get that out of the way. Well, we stop to realize God's going to choose what He wants. And if your life is His, He's going to tell you what He wants you to do. Your job is to be ready to do whatever He says. And if He wants you to preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, open your mouth and start preaching. If He wants you to heal the sick, then start laying your hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, we bear in our mind is following what Jesus gives us to do. Now, I didn't have to ask anybody if I could do this. I didn't have to get a preacher's license to do this. I didn't have to ask anybody. God told me what to do. God spoke to me, would I be willing? And I told Him I was willing. And therefore, it was God who led me. It was God who called me out. It was God who sent us into this work. We look at that and say, you know, it's God. God gets a hold of your life. All God has ever got to help wanted sign out. Did you ever see God's help wanted sign? It's there. It's never taken down. God's always looking for another man. The Lord looks to and fro through the whole earth looking for a man He can use. Has He ever come by looking at you? Has He ever had any mind to put His sights on you and think that you're somebody He could use? He didn't come by to me in those meetings because of something that I did. That's not what I prayed for. I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And because I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't long God had these things to do. So it's His choice. And tonight I think we all should stop and think, we'll do nothing without the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in us. We'll be like a rocket that the fire just burned out before it ever got off the pad. Hey, you got to have a fire under that rocket to get that thing up there. Oh, my, if you could think of the fire that's underneath that big old, you know, thing going up there, you know, into the heavens and, you know, the space shuttle. And, hey, if you saw that thing blast off and all that power was to boost that thing up there. It has to get up there to 17,000 miles an hour before it can get into orbit. Hey, that's really moving. You know that? Somebody said, how fast are you going? 17,000. My, if you could go 1,000, how fast you'd be going. Some of you, how fast you're going when you got that old car up to 80, amen? But listen, we've got to think. There's got to be some fire under us. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a firing us off somewhere. There's a time and there's a beginning. There was a time in my life. There was a beginning of things in my life. It was God. He was there. He worked it in His time. He knew when it was time. And God is at work. And I believe God is at work today. I believe God is at work tonight. Are we going to yield to Him? Are we going to listen to Him? Are we going to put our whole heart out there? Are we doing what He told us to do? Are we in that place where we can say we well prepared our hearts to receive from Him? And He comes by and He wants to fill your cup and it's upside down or you're not interested or you're too taken up. Church, we've got to have our eyes on Jesus. I believe what He says. I believe when He speaks to me, I take the things He says serious to my heart. And you need to know deep in your heart then, hey, this is God's opportunity to get hope in this last day. God wants a church. God wants a people that will listen to Him. God wants a people that are serious and on fire. The joy crowd of today that God would have an awful hard time to use. People want. They have a lot of things they want and they're looking for. People want entertainment. Oh, how they want entertainment. Hey, they want a band in the church. They want a new singing group a couple times a week or whatever. They're ever out for all the entertainments they can find. They're tied up in the men are playing softball and hey, the ladies are out there doing their thing. And hey, everybody's into something. Church, I want you to get into something real. Well, I love the Lord tonight, and I just surely feel deep in my heart, this is a time for us to get stirred. Let's get stirred. Let's get our hearts stirred. Let's get that deep hungry stirred up again in your soul. Let's get that desire welled up in your heart more. You want to be in that place where you're used of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You're gifted of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Or you're preaching with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Hey, you're teaching with the anointing of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You're witnessing with that power. You're working with that power. You know, that's where our hearts ought to be. Well, it's there, and I believe it's there for us. But I don't believe that we could say that this is all to its full, that we've just got all that fullness. Hey, it's time that God wants to bring a whole new revival. Whenever God talks of bringing something new, it would tend to say that something old is taken away or something old is fulfilled. He took away the old covenant that He might bring forth the new covenant. Before the new covenant would really come into effect, the old one had to cease. The new one had to start and play. So that Old Testament covenant, hey, that had to be done away with. It had to be fulfilled. God brought in a new boy. Didn't He bring in a new thing with a mighty boom? Hey, didn't He bring it in with a mighty stir on the day of Pentecost? Didn't He bring in a new move? Wasn't it a new thing? Hey, Pentecost was a new thing. Never had there been a day like that. Never had there been a time when all God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. It was surely new. God poured out His Spirit upon many in the Old Testament. Oh, tonight, God wanted to do something. I'll give you a revival like you've never seen before. To me, it can only add up to one thing. Something new. Something new. Something that goes beyond what I have known. God send it. God prepare our hearts to receive it. God give us the strength to give it a major effort. God give us the courage to stand up and take a hold of something that may seem bigger than we know what to do with. Something so big that we doubt thinking about it. Who does that? We shouldn't doubt. Isn't God still God? Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing's too hard for God. Was other people different than we are? If other people were different than we were, I would hope the difference was they prayed more than we do. Hey, they worship and praise God more than we do. That could make you different. Somebody said others have big suppers. They have fancy foods. They have more entertainment. I don't want a new thing at church, if that's what it is. I want to see the fires. Oh, as God spoke, surely. Well, I hope I caused a little more hungering in your heart. And I hope the messages today have caused a little more hunger in your heart. Let's get into that. Oh, Jesus, get a hold of us. Oh, Jesus, get a hold of us. Holy Ghost, get a hold of us. Let us get anointed with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Nothing more precious in our life than being so full of the Holy Ghost. It brings that full presence of God into us.